Chapter 11. Though Dennis Fritz didn't realize it, 12 months in the dungeon of the county jail had helped prepare him for the severe conditions of prison life. He arrived at the Connor Correctional Center in June, in the rear of a van loaded with other new inmates, still dazed and in denial and terrified. It was important to look and act confident, and he worked hard at it. Connor had the reputation as the dump site of medium-security prisons. It was a tough place, tougher than most, and Dennis asked himself over and over how and why he had been randomly assigned to the place. He was herded through the admissions procedures and given the standard lectures about rules and regulations, then assigned to a two-man cell with bunk beds and a window through which he could see the outdoors. Like Ron, he was thankful for the window. He'd gone for weeks in Ada without seeing sunshine. His roommate was a Mexican who spoke little English, and that was fine with Dennis. He spoke no Spanish and wasn't in the mood to learn. The first overwhelming challenge was how to find brief moments of privacy with another human always within arm's reach. Dennis vowed to spend every possible moment working to free himself from his sentence. It would have been easy to give up, the system was so heavily weighted against the inmates, but he was determined to prevail. Connor was overcrowded and known for its violence. There were gangs, killings, beatings, rapes, drugs everywhere, and guards on the take. He quickly found the safer areas and avoided men he thought were trouble. He treated fear as an asset. After a few months, most prisoners unwittingly fell into the routine of the prison and became institutionalized. They lowered their guard, took chances, took safety for granted. It was a good way to get hurt, and Dennis vowed that he would never forget to be afraid. The prisoners were awake by 7 a.m., and all cell doors were opened. They ate in a large cafeteria and could sit anywhere they wished. The whites took one side, the blacks the other, and the Indians and Hispanics were caught in the middle but leaned toward the darker section. The food for breakfast was not bad. Eggs, grits, bacon. Conversation was lively. The men were relieved to have contact with others. Most wanted to work, anything to stay out of the unit where the cells were. Because Dennis had once taught, he was recruited to teach other inmates in the General Equivalency Diploma Program. After breakfast, he went to the classroom and taught until noon. His salary was $7.20 a month. His mother and aunt began sending $50 a month, money they barely scraped together but made a priority. He spent it in the canteen on tobacco, canned tuna, crackers, and cookies. Virtually every inmate smoked, and the great currency was cigarettes. A pack of Marlboros was like a pocketful of cash.